It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, fellas.
Hey. How's it going, boss?
Just a couple of American males we got on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say it like mm-hmm. that?
We're talking about exciting topics of refrigerators telling us the weather.
Ah. Oh, so like when you go to get your cup of coffee or OJ in the morning, the first thing you do is see the weather?
I have my refrigerator. We were lucky we got one of those really nice, expensive refrigerators at the scratch.
Because you're successful and you work hard and you made a little coin and you invested in your family. Like, you got to keep the food cool. Don't be shy. It's cool, Trevor. It's okay. You're allowed to win. You're allowed to win sometime. You don't have to apologize for being successful and buying a family a refrigerator that can tell you the weather, which is important.
That's straight up. It literally has the function on it where, like, it has, like Aaron was talking about, when he comes to visit, it's usually right at the end of the beginning of September, end of August. And it has literally trees on it with leaves starting to fall, and it tells you the temperature and what the weather's going to be like for the rest of the day while you're in the kitchen. And
well, that's not something that when you brag about, most people will appreciate, unless they have, like, kids or eating disorder and they like to keep their food crisp and, you know, how they want to eat when they go outside. Most people won't appreciate that. It's not as sexy as, like, you bought a new truck with, you know, 48-inch rims and all the dubs and all, right. You know what I'm saying? It's, you did the right thing. You're a family man, damn it.
It's definitely cool to be at the grocery store and
knowing that everything you have is going to stay crispy or frozen.
Right.
I have a nice refrigerator, too. I make sure my food is like, hey, you know, I don't want soggy grapes. I want my crisp. You know, and I would like,
I'm a milk drinker too.
Yeah, you want it cold, man. I want it damn near ice cubes in it, which I can do with my automatic ice maker that has crushed, cubed, circled. If I want to have an old fashioned, I think we should take this next further. I think we need to put some AI on these refrigerators that will talk to us, but they have to be completely honest. You know, like, hey.
Oh, that's a whole other level.
Hey, Tyrus, it's the fourth time you opened my door this morning. It's the same shit, bro. You're good. You're good. Go do something. Just go work out. Go work out.
We need to patent this now. Stop recording the podcast. Let's think about this.
Refrigerator, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you really need those Cocoa Puffs at 3 o'clock in the morning? The milk's gone bad. The milk's gone bad. Go to bed. Locking. You have exceeded your fat requests for the day. The refrigerator is locked till 6 a.m. in the morning. Go to bed.
Do you know how many of those refrigerators would
be? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we would be like dump trucks. I would be rude as hell at Fox. I'd be like, what, you talking to me? You know who I am? Do you know who I am? I'm the rude-ass refrigerator guy. I'm the keeping it real refrigerator guy.
Like, what about the upgraded model to where when you grab the handle, it actually takes, you know, your temperature, your heart rate and everything, and it could actually tell you, like, well, statistics show that you are eating your feelings again.
Yep.
And where it could, like, you know, again.
And I think it should be rude as hell, like, listen, hey, your selfies are lies. I see you for what you are.
Stop
doing that. Stop taking those angles. Listen, one glass of orange juice is fine. Pouring it in the beer mug with 32 ounces is not good. Like, you're killing yourself. Like, I think it would be great. I think it would be awesome. And I also think it would be like, and it would then praise somebody in front of you who's doing well. Like, the wife goes to get a bottle of water, and atta girl, way to do it. You are the superstar of the day. Like, and the refrigerator plays a little song like, dun, 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 good choice. You picked an apple. Proud of you. Better than your father did. Dun, dun, dun. Snickers bar.
Yep. Into work all bummed.
Yeah, it also keeps an active inventory. So, like, literally, who ate the last milk? Oh, that's easy. That was – it'll show the video of who left just to swallow in the cup. know what I'm saying? Just got my mouth all ready for some orange juice, and you know, left nothing but a little tiny swallow in the cup. Like, that's fighting terms right
you
there.
We'll talk about patenting an idea, right? I'm serious. Oh my God.
If someone's
a lot
drinking
dad.
Out of the milk carton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's a video of it. A picture of it, you know? It wasn't me.
Yep. Oh, man.
But they could solve so many family mysteries. So many things happen around the refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just.
Especially if you have teenagers in the house.
Yeah. You know?
Nobody ever drinks the last of nothing.
No.
But it's all gone.
They leave it because they're too lazy to take the ass store to go get it. I mean, you can do the same thing with washing machines, but you got to be careful. Like, you know, if you make the mistake of being unfaithful, there's a good chance that the washing machine can be like, there's a perfume on your shirt there, Aaron. That's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be careful.
That would sell out.
Yes.
That would sell out. Whoever manufactured that would sell
we gotta,
out. Every housewife.
Oh, yeah.
Woman.
Yeah. Like, literally, you put your hand on the thing and it's a lie detector test. I mean, there's a lot you can do with a refrigerator because eventually everyone comes to eat. So you could have whatever you wanted there because eventually he's going to open the fridge. He's going to open the fridge. And when he opens the fridge, that's when all the information, just automatic download. Everything on your cell phone goes up on the screen.
You joke, though. Some crazy shit that could be. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the way.
Mark this episode.
Yeah, I don't know how many calories is in that, but your side chick is texting you, and she is not happy.
Well,
something about hashtag graduation. She's graduating today. Not really sure what that means. That means
my refrigerator dimed me out. My refrigerator
dimed me out. You're better than this. You're better than this. Yes, I would make sure that I had the refrigerator with the highest morals code. Like, you can – that – oh – you can set the code to your lifestyle. Like, you could also go the other way with it, where you have the AI is just the enabler. Who will be like, hey, been 20 minutes, still got some chocolates in here, come get it.
From a business standpoint, no, we can't. No, because here's the thing. People are going to be able to adjust, and like that's going to be their willpower. If we sell a model that says, no, this refrigerator, it's going to hold you accountable.
The accountable raider.
It's like the George Floyd deal. Refrigerator?
No. Refrigerator? No.
Refrigerator. Refrigerator.
Yeah, then that would and bless your heart. That would have been good for the evil one. That would be like forcing you to eat food. Like, hey, you
like
know what?
Like a Darth Vader model.
Yeah, Twinkies and Oreos and milk with a little bit of Kool-Aid is phenomenal.
Yes, for people who should just give up. Like, if you're
tapped it in. Like, listen, the goal today is 6,000 calories. We can do it. I've got 4 quarts of Haagen-Dazs in here. Let's go to work.
Oh my God. Mark this episode because I feel in a few years when these are being sold. Like, this will be like The Simpsons, where we foretold it.
We will all be with serious receding hairlines sitting in a bar going, whose f***ing idea was that again? Yeah.
Speak for yourself. We'll be at the bar, but my hairline.
No, your hairline will be fine.
I can guarantee you that.
And probably still all black.
Yeah, oh yeah, jet black. He'll still have the blue jacket on.
No.
It'll be 11 o'clock in the afternoon. We've given up on life. We've lost everything. We've lost our family. But Aaron will still show up and look nice going, what it is, fellas? Like, it's day shift is what it is. The forecast is bad. I can tell you the weather also.
And you're 65 years old, bro.
Yeah. You're on the wrong side of 60 going, hey, man, I think I got booked in an indie show. Don't sell that merch, baby. This thing goes right. This thing goes right. I'm going to be up north in no time. It's never over.
Yeah. Waiting for the call. What is it? The call can come at any time.
Yep. Just unless you don't make it. RIP, V.
I'll go out like a dentist stamp on it.
Oh, man.
Trample in your dumbbells. That's the way to do it.
Yep. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a hot minute.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
man, I just feel like a refrigerator, the Truthinator, the we got it's there. It's right there.
Yeah. We'll have it next week.
We got to put it together. Or maybe we'll do a contest.
Ooh,
of some sort. Like they get a free 10-minute video chat with Aaron if they can help us name our accountable refrigerator.
It's got to be good though.
It's the new George Foreman grill of refrigerators, guys.
Yeah, okay. So here's how we connect this to wrestling. Do you know that the Foreman grill was originally presented to Hulk Hogan?
Yep.
And he said no.
Wah, wah, wah.
Like, but to be fair, only Hogan could say no to what is a generational wealth deal. Lose everything, yeah, and then hulk up and be the only old guy man in the world to make money off a sex tape. Like, he literally, yeah, Hulkamania will live forever, brother. Like, there is no question in my mind. The man is bulletproof. He survived Andre. He can survive anything. You, Hulk Hogan, the world ends. He will kick out at 2.5. Guarantee, and he will hulk up. Like,
and Jimmy Hart will be right beside him.
Right beside him, Daddy. Right beside him.
Dude, Jimmy Hart, like, I ran into him in Publix like about a year ago.
And he was in gimmick.
And, dude, sunglasses, hat, jacket, like, completely Jimmy Harted out.
Jimmy Hart does not age. Yeah. Jimmy Hart does not age.
I didn't know he was like 80.
You could bring Jimmy Hart on this podcast and he would run it. He would run it. We would not get a word in. He starts like.
And love every minute of it.
And love every minute of it. You think of one of the nicest gentlemen to be in the sport who's done everything, has not always been treated the greatest by companies and stuff. He's written music, he's built careers, he's taken some of the craziest bumps. Have you ever seen the Goldberg Haku match, man, where he you know what I'm saying, like, man, he
and
just,
no one's ever said a bad word about him. Like, I've never heard anybody.
No, if you got a problem with Jimmy Hart, you the problem. I didn't even got, like, I would just stop, like, hold on, who, you got a problem with Jimmy Hart besides me, because I have a problem with anyone who everyone likes. And I hate that Jimmy Hart falls in that category, because it causes me.
You like him too.
Because I like him. I thought him managing Honky Tonk Man and the Hart Foundation was some of the greatest work of all time. Him and the Honky Tonk Man was one of the greatest collaboration combos of all time. And then, you know, then you look at him and Adrian Adonis. Like, he was a part of so many things, but the way he did it, he never, like, he was there. He always made his moment, but he never took the light. He always kept the light on the wrestler. Like,
bingo.
That's what makes the manager. That is the art. You're there, but you're not there until you're needed. And him and Heenan and course, you can't, without Paul Heyman, you can't say Paul Heyman. But I think the problem, if there is a problem with Paul Heyman, and he would even admit this, that he has become the star.
Like, oh, for sure.
Heyman's the star. And you want
to
know
if
it's up to the talent to step up, because here's the deal. Whomever you put and you say is now managed by Paul Heyman, they are a main eventer, whether they want or not, and it's sink or swim. Because he's a main event. He is the show. People come to hear him talk. People come to see the person he represents.
And if you can't get over with Paul Heyman and be connected with being connected to him by asking him questions in the back, like, maybe this isn't the business for you, because that cat, like, everything he touches seems to be gold most of the time.
Right. And like I said, that's rare that it works, because usually once the manager becomes a star, you got to break up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and Paul, you know, getting to work with him like I did in OVW, I mean, I would be remiss to say that he was not a major, like, contributing factor to my promos. And, like, now as a manager, you know, like, Cornette and Heyman, influenced me quite a bit, yeah, right, during that period of time. So it's like, it's just in people, they consider them at odds where they have two different kinds of philosophy. But the reality is they are very, very much alike. And it's like, it's opposite ends, but it's the same coin.
Right. Yeah. You can't, like I said, you know, Cornette, he's just got one of the greatest minds. And Cornette can take the thing about him is like he has that look that you just want to punch him in terms of like when he talks. He is the greatest heel manager because he just comes, he knows, he talks to you. He's just that smart ass guy that you want to slap. So that off the bat makes him, and that's not a shot at his character. That's just as a person, but I'm saying as he portrays the manager.
He's a quick-witted individual.
Oh, he's quick. Oh, yeah, he can go. Like, he can
oh,
go.
Yeah.
You fire him off at you.
And, but his, what makes him great is that he can take a worker who's just a worker, you know, doesn't, like, Beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan, both of them, I would say, the microphone, with all due respect, wasn't phenomenal. Like, you know, they just kind of were, they were what they were who they were. They could work their ass off. They look, nothing about them said Midnight Express except their trunks, right? But as soon as you put them with Cornette, all of a sudden, all they got to do is go out and work. And when they, Midnight Express, that version of it, and Conway was a great version too, don't get me wrong. But those, that, the Stan Lane, that worked.
Stan Lane, yeah.
That they just worked. And like the, you watch their matches, I don't care how long you've been in the game, every time you watch the Midnight Express wrestle anyone, you're going to learn something new. Bobby did shit that like you people still couldn't do. And he was doing high risk maneuvers, but his shit made sense.
Dude, that leg drop.
That leg drop. But you didn't see that leg drop as a cutoff.
No.
And if he wasn't, and if he didn't need it, and Bobby had so much shit, you hardly saw, you didn't see all his shit every night. He would hit stuff you wouldn't see. And one night it's the elbow drop. Then another night, maybe it's a leg drop. Maybe it's nothing at all. Maybe it's a fist off the second. Like, it wasn't the work. It was the smoothness of their work, the shitty way they slip into tags. Like, tag team wrestling, right now, there's tag team wrestling, I think, is becoming the more recognizable main event. Whereas in other companies, the tag team divisions are hot. And WWE's kind of slowed it down because they put the belts and they're not really you know what I'm saying? It's like by a guy who has the money in the bank thing, so it's like it doesn't quite, they're not wrestling tag teams every night, you know. So but other organizations, I like NWA, AEW, and what they're doing with tag teams. But when you, today's tag teams, if they took the time to sit down and watch matches for cutoffs from back then, they're so creative, so smart, but they all make sense. And the heels made mistakes because that's why they're heels. And it wasn't always the miss. And I think that's the thing, that it's always the miss. Like, Arn is the best. Him and Ole wrestled. Like I said, we lost Ole and Virgil this week. Weird combo to go at the same time. But
yeah, right. Rest in peace. Wow.
Yep. Speaking of tag teams, you can't, you know, Ole and Arn. But they would make mistakes. Shoot a guy off, gets reversed. They run into each other, and the guy, you know, makes the tag, or they have a miscommunication. Like, they have a breakdown, which makes them heels because they cheat because they're not as good as the babyface. That's the basic premise of the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why you cheat is because you can't compete, so you can do things like that. And when I hear guys like, "Oh, I don't want to look dumb," I'm like,
no,
you're in spandex.
How many
Briss.
Times like, did you hear an announcer talk about Arn going to the well one too many times?
Yeah, like, it's just high risk maneuver. When it doesn't work, it's not always supposed to. It should be more crash and burns, because then, hence, it's a high risk maneuver. And botched.
Like, this is telling of that. So, I'll never forget this. Cody and I did an Arn finish where there was a tag, and Arn went through this with us, right? Like, where how to make it look jumbled. So it happened, right? I think it was Sheamus got the roll up 1, 2, 3. So I'd forgotten about it. Years later, I was this was like 2 years ago. I was at an indie show in Louisiana, and it was right in New Orleans. And this dude kept asking me, he's like, "So when you mess up like that on TV, how do you know how to keep going?" And I was like, "What?" Oh. And then he showed me it. Like, no, that was part of the finish. He goes, "No, that wasn't."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "This is a like he's an indie wrestler, but he was like telling me that like no, like how did you mess up and keep going?" And I was kind of pissed. Number one, because
I hope you didn't tell him. Question. I wouldn't have told him. Yeah, I got lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was almost like, dude, like no, that's it's supposed to look like that. And it was just kind of like, come on, you know, like people, they
see you
they
so much. You're such a good human being. This is where I need to learn from you, Aaron, because I would have handled it much differently. I'd be like, oh man, I didn't get paid that night. Actually, I went to the pay window. I went to the pay window, and Charles White, rest his soul, was waiting on me, and he's like, those kind of fuck ups don't get paid. We're keeping your draw. Matter of fact, you owe us $60 for the sweeping up the ring. You paying cash or card?
And you know,
my career was all downhill after that. Missed the tag and put the baby face over. Man, like, I was so like, buried. I was down there with earthworms. You know what I mean? Like just
But that's the level. That's the level of a lot of people. They're just idiots.
No. They know the wrestling a lot for some people has turned into. How many ways can I throw myself out of the ring and jump at people? Like, it's like there's very little wrestling, and it's all just like, oh, hey, shoot me over here. I'll jump up. I'll do a kick. I'll do 6 backflips that make 0 sense when I could have just punched you in the face, and then you will fall out and then wait for me to run across the ring and jump on you, and both of us look fine. Like, it's just, you know, like, it just, but it is what it is. Granted, I had Mike Rowe on my new show, Maintaining with Tyrus, and he had this great analogy. Oh, he's like, nobody wants to listen to the old guy on the porch screaming at him, you know, trying to tell him what they're making mistakes in life. And I'm like, you know what? That's such a good point. So you have to be careful how much you complain about, because at the end of the day, it's entertainment. And if they want to watch it, they can watch it. And if they want to pick it apart, you know, and some of these guys, the stuff works, but it's funny. When it comes to the main event, it's never like that.
And there's exactly.
Never like that. Like the ribs
the
on you guys.
People know how to do it. Yeah.
You beat the shit out of yourselves all night, and we'll work stories, and we'll have 30-year careers, and you'll have 10.
Yeah.
But we're old, and we don't know what we're talking about, man.
Listen, wrestling's based off of success. And if you have been able to make it to the highest point of the highest company, and you've been able to make a shit ton of money, and you've been able to even parlay that into other shit, then you can speak on whatever you want to speak on. Like, you have been WWE Tag Team Champion. You have been only hired and fired by the top guys. Like, you got to sing on national television. Like, Trevor, your resume, not to mention the incredible upset victory of a lifetime that you got in the Chase 73. Like, I mean, that shit was on Google. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I was mad as a motherfucker on that morning. I woke up and it was on Google, his ass holding the title, standing over the ring.
Bro, I gotta give you the rub. That's the most famous I've ever been, man.
I'm just saying, that's some top guy. That's some top guy stuff. And Aaron, you had a chance, but you know, you had the suitcase, but apparently you didn't want to dance. So, But we'll leave it at that. But you know what I'm saying? And
you know what though? It's crazy. We were talking about Jimmy Hart.
Right, yeah.
I thought of the story, like, you know, again, not to keep this a Jimmy Hart centric podcast, but we are.
Why not?
Invented.
Jimmy Hart is. Why not? Jimmy, I could talk about Jimmy Hart all day. Jimmy Hart, Jim Cornette, Bobby Heenan. I mean, Bobby, I think just because it's because of my favorite wrestlers, but we were spoiled as kids, man. We were just absolutely spoiled. Jimmy Hart and his laugh, and he'd come out there and honky tonk. Like, it was great because you know what the cold part was? The gimmicks were there, but they never – all the guys who had gimmicks could go, and that's the difference. It wasn't like it's the gimmick was down the ring, and then when the bell rings, it was like, oh, shit. You know, like Honky Tonk could go. You wanted to see him get his ass kicked. But they just knew how to work. They knew how to work. They did the gimmick. Then they got in the ring and it's time to go to work. And I think sometimes that's tough. Funkasaurus, I had to deal with that shit all the time. It was like, once the bell rang, I wanted to go to work. I didn't want to do silly stuff. Like, I wanted to go to work. Like, at the end of the day, you're still trying to win the match. Like, whether it's – that's the key component to the whole thing is you – the illusion of trying to win. And if you don't, then you don't. You tell the story. But you don't – you know, it's real to you. It's always real. It's real to us. And that's the thing is – and it's real to them. Like, literally, I had someone in the hallway today – come up to me and be like, Cody's going to finish his story. Are you so excited? And I was like, he finished his story. We beat his ass on Monday Night Raw. Remember, Aaron, you were there.
Yep.
And we ended that
shit. I beat him a couple times.
Yeah, you were on the wrong side of it, though. But,
Yeah. I took the out.
Yeah, you took the out, but I got him. We ended that story. Boy, did we end that story. Like, the story never existed. It's like our match got cut at Mania, and we wrestled on Monday, and Tenzai almost got killed by a fireworks explosion because somebody forgot that we weren't dancing on the WrestleMania ramp. Oh, fun times.
It was something.
Yeah.
But, it was something.
Yeah, but I had to catch myself. I was like, you know what? Good that they're talking about it at work. It's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I need to, like, I don't need to always be like, oh, well, I'll have you know. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, maybe you will, bro. Maybe you won't. But they all think, like, I have an, you know, because you were there, you know, and people who are just fans, they think you have, like, an inside. Like, so, you know, you know what's going on? Is he going to do it? I said, you got to buy the pay-per-view, bro.
That's it?
Oh, well, do they do pay-per-view anymore? I don't remember. Is it? It's not the app still, is it?
Peacock.
I don't know. Right. Oh, Peacock. Yeah. Because that's where I watch a lot of my old school stuff.
Yeah.
I started, actually, it was like a month ago, I started watching all the Saturday Night Main Events from the first one to the, you know, till.
Oh, there's some gems.
Yeah. Kind of.
There are some gems.
I'm telling you, I just watched, I loved the fact that Hogan always came out third or second. He was getting his shit. He would not stay to the end of the main event. Like, he's had shit to do. And then the matches, my favorite matches are the matches after the big, whether it's Macho Man. Because that's the thing. It was like Macho Man opened it and Hogan started opening it. But like it was, they get the main event, the big deal to get everybody, to get the draw, to get the numbers. They got it in early. And then you got wrestling at the end. And it was always like the Bulldogs against the Beefcake and Valentine. It was always the Hart Foundation. It was always like a scientific good match. Afterwards, and I was like, I wondered how many like of the casual fans just like click or that.
Yeah, because, right.
Like, but I never did. I always was watching those matches. I always thought were the best matches because they got time too. So because on Saturday, WWF Superstars, it was all squash matches. So you rarely got to see or the guys that were just getting pummeled all of a sudden get a little more. Because I always thought. It was the Coco Bewares and the SD Special Delivery Jones and the Barry Horowitzes and et cetera. Those are the real Hall of Famers. You know what I'm saying? Those are the guys that helped build the stars. I think a lot of times in wrestling, and just spitballing here, the Hall of Fame shouldn't be based off championships because that's a decision of a promoter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it should be based on the body of work and the guys, like the guys you helped make, the guys that you made. You know, Warrior isn't, you know, Goldberg, anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys who lay down, I always thought the guys who did the favor should get paid more. And I always thought that there should be more recognition for those guys that built it. Because it used to be you had to go through Special Delivery Jones to get that. Like, he was the guy that would get you ready. And he'd be the guy like, this guy's ready. And when they're right and they build a superstar, you don't have that superstar. And SD Jones, I'm just for example, he was a big dude. You know what I'm saying? He was not a little guy. None of these guys were. And any one of them, when you see him wrestle in other places, and a lot of them were stars. Pedro Morales and Bruno Sammartino putting over young guys coming up, you know, like at the time it was Orndorff and Piper and Orton and all those guys don't get heat. if they're not having Polish Power, Ivan Buskies and stuff to put them over and stuff. So it's like I always think there should at least be a section for that. You know?
Yeah.
There
absolutely
should be the guy that was recognized for that. He should be, because he made stars. You don't have the stars if you don't have those guys. And I think they should get recognition. Also, I think we should see more referees in the Hall of Fame. I think you can't have a match without them, you know?
Very true. Guys that have dedicated their lives, like 20, yeah, 25 years to a company.
To be booed.
Mike Chioda should be.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Truth. Okay.
But what wrestler that's been up there would
shoot? Oh, when I think of when I'm in trouble, like, yes, I want John Cone, Chioda, yep, Armstrong, Mr. Armstrong. Some people would have the balls to call him Scott, Mr. Armstrong. I'm telling you right now. But he's not a referee. He's a player coach.
Yeah.
Scott Armstrong is a referee, is a player coach. Like, he will literally tell you, that is the shit. Fix that hold. You're embarrassing yourself.
Yep.
And you won't even know, like, no one else. But here's the thing. I was wrestling, like, one of my first house shows, and heel. And I might even be working Sheamus. I can't remember. Anyways, the boot kick came. I forget what it was. I was somewhere in Europe. And the crowd was kind of cheering for me a little bit, which was weird at the time because I was kind of a heel. And match was, I put the guy over, can't remember who it was. And he's like, stay down. And I was like, what? He's like, stay down. Just listen to me. Because I just wanted to roll out and get the hell out of there, you know? And he's like, no, come up slowly. So I started listening to everything, and I'm doing it. And the crowd starts cheering, and then they do the cheer. And I was like, and he's like, see, you control them. Now get the hell, now go, sell, you know, and then roll it. But he just did things. He taught you in the moment. That's that. When I think of Scott Armstrong, the referee, I think of, he teaches you in the moment.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
And then he will just, and I think he's in Arn and a lot of those old school guys, they never had a problem with you making a mistake. You just couldn't make the same mistake twice, if that made any sense. Right. Like, if they took the time, if an old school guy who's been working forever takes the time to teach you, and then you take it and then go revert back, he's not going to come back again. And that's I think the disconnect. A lot of the when an old school guy's telling you about telling a story and painting a picture, it's like, well, it doesn't sound as exciting as I'm going to hit a guy with a 360 spin super kick in the first 6 seconds of the match, and then he just rolls to the floor, waiting for me to dive on him and then roll him back in. And then I shoot him off, drop down. We run another spot, even though you just flew 15 feet in the air on somebody, but we still got another 8 minutes to go in this match. So old school guys don't do that.
Well, that you'll hear that old school guy go, okay.
They would tease it the entire match. They would tease it the entire match. Snooker's going up, Piper rolls. Snooker goes up, Orton interferes. Yeah. Snooker goes up, Piper runs and punches him and gets a cut off and stops him by the thing. Snooker's finally getting ready to go up, and then he rolls to the floor and runs to the back. And, you know, and it's like, you teased everybody, because guess what? Eventually he's going to hit that shit. And when he does, it's over. And Piper knows it. So the whole story is him just avoiding getting the super splash. It's that easy. It's that easy.
Yep.
You know, telling stories is tough, and it's even harder to tell stories on TV, because you also got to worry about if somebody a little higher on the food chain than you decides to add an extra couple minutes to their shit. You know, and then you become the midnight deckhands. Jinder Mahal, myself, Drew McIntyre, Aaron, Cody Rhodes are all members of the Midnight Deckhands. And if I have forgotten a few, and Trevor, you weren't with us, but you were an honorary member because you have been a great deckhand so far in life. But basically, it's like, we got 3 minutes. Drew, Tyrus, go. Like, you got it, boss. Okay.
Yep.
And like our Royal Rumble match, boy, we had 12 minutes, Drew and I. When the introductions were over, we had go home. Like, I remember looking across at Drew like, why? Same thing happened to me and Jack Swagger on Monday Night Raw. We had, it was like 9 minutes for our feud, but we had We had Mick Foley, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, rest his soul, and Roddy Piper, rest his soul, cutting a promo with me. I knew it wasn't going. I knew they were going to go. You know, they were going to get their stuff in, and time means nothing to them. It used to, but now they're just like, "Hey, I'm the man." And then they were had to do stuff on the back end. So we get out there, and I'm feeling particularly cool that day because I remember I was wearing an American flag singlet, and I remember Dean Malenko going, "This is tough for me because I'm not pledge allegiance to that." He was like, "It's the biggest flag I've ever seen on somebody's back in my life." But then we go out there, and Swag and I literally had 17 seconds. It is the worst. And I was up, and I hate – that is one that I wish we just didn't even have the match. I don't think – it didn't help either one of us. Him charging at me, catching a headbutt, and me splashing him 1, 2, 3 didn't help either one of us. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes guys, you know, like – but it has to be the guy going over that has to say something. Like, "Hey, man, I don't think this is..." Because the guy who's not, he's not saying it because he doesn't want to do the favor. Swag, he did it. Didn't even flinch because Swag's a super pro. Mm-hmm. But I was like, "Hey, man, so maybe we should just do like a no contest." You know what I'm saying? We just fight out to the floor and I bump him and then dance with everybody. And they're like, "No, he just wants just a quick finish." Like, basically, you guys are done. Like, that's it. We don't give a shit. We're moving on. Yeah. And it's a part of the business. It sucks, you know, but he's especially as talented as Swagger is, like the hatch.
Obviously it did not hurt his career.
No, not Swag. Bad. Oh man, Hager, Jake Hager can walk into any building in this country and get heat. It doesn't matter what they did to him. Didn't matter how far they buried him or who had they beat him each week. Swag, if you get Swag in a house show, he starts doing his He was one of my favorite guys to work because he got heat no matter where he went. You know, he just but that was one thing about our group. Everyone was a student of the game. You know, the problem was is that and I don't give a shit. I made it. The problem is the dudes, the superstars from the Attitude Era, refused to relinquish and allow our guys to be stars. They protected. I give a damn.
No, dude.
When you have guys that were top guys in the Attitude Era and they want to stay the top guys always, and then they're in charge of creative, it's going to be kind of funny how there was never a time when you saw them working our guys and doing the favor like it was done for them.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, they'd never do that. Like,
how many times did you beat DX?
Like, what did that do to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Because they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at it like that's the reason why they're always like, "Oh, The Rock and oh, Cena and Triple H." And yeah. And everything was designed to keep them because none of them, Cena will do it. He'll put guys over. But there was moments when it was time and that they did in that Attitude Era thing, they refused to do it. Like, I always thought, it should have been like Bray Taker, you know, rest his soul. But it was just opportunity. Cesaro, why was Cesaro not 6 times WWE champion? Like, you know what I'm saying? Or like Aaron, why wasn't Aaron the new face of a Four Horsemen clique as a champ? Like, guys got over and then they weren't allowed to get over. It wasn't like Triple H would come out and have a match and put him over. Like the old guys used to have to, like Dusty had to do with Barry and them. Like, it was just this thing where, like, if Stone Cold showed up, didn't matter whether he, and again, this ain't a shot at them. I get it. You're in a position of power, you're going to keep it. But I'm just saying, when they criticize our group, it's like Dolph Ziggler, the difference between Shawn Michaels and Dolph Ziggler, Dolph Ziggler's a little bigger and a better athlete. But when The Rocket got put on his back, they didn't take it off. Our guys, they put it on and up. Let's take it off and put it on somebody else. Up, let's put it on. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. You know, and it hurt the legacy of this generation because we still had to put over Attitude Era guy come on the thing and tell you to basically call you a bitch and to kiss his ass, and he can say that, and the crowd's gonna go, "Ooh, he cussed," and then we're like, "Well, gosh darn it, don't say that to me," because if we cuss, we got fined.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I was like. That's why that night that show hit me with the table, he hit me in the smaller back with the table, and I was like, in right into the camera. And Vince like, why'd you cuss? And I went, it's the only thing that came to mind when I got hit in the small of the back instead of the top of my shoulders. You know, so if you're going to fine me, so do it. But I think under the circumstances, I wasn't fined for that one. But it is a thing. You know what I'm saying? When they do come, and so it's harder for guys because they should now, it should be the guys coming up now should be beating the guys from the PG era that are ready to pass the torch. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But because the torch wasn't passed to us,
or there's nobody there.
There's nobody there.
The torch ain't lit.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why the old school guys, when they come back, they get so much hype. Because they're not paying it forward. And they need to.
Yep. Well, period. I didn't pay it forward in that segment. And you know what? I regret it the rest of my life. As far as the, you know, from a character standpoint.
Yep.
Right. I'm referring to that little thing I was in.
Yeah. No.
Right?
I know what you're talking about.
But it is. It's more of a like a respect thing to where at some point when that transition happened, right, and it was also due to the like society, right, like what was the kind of undercurrent in society at the time? Where okay, more PG, and we're getting away from kind of lewd and rude things, but there was still a place for, again, the torch to be passed, and that was a severe fumble. And again, like who do you point the finger at, you know, creatively and this and that. And look, like the writers who I didn't like to deal with, a lot of them, there were a couple really cool ones. But as a team, what do they have, like 50 writers or something like that?
Yeah. Well.
So, okay.
Well, yeah, let's be honest, they had one.
Bingo. Yeah. And there was just this very, I don't know, like there's severe disconnect, and I think it hurt our generation, like, a lot, really. I know that sounds very simplistic, but I'm trying to articulate it because it's a major fumble.
I'll throw my opinion in on this. I think that generation, and I think I was a part of that as well, there was a lot more personal than there was business going on when it came to attitude and how to conduct themselves. Whereas now the roster's smaller. They have a more, their business acronym and how they treat their wrestlers is more focused on a business like atmosphere. You guys know as well as I do how many guys were starting to get over there, but because somebody didn't like them in the back that had nothing to do with the wrestling end of it, would say something and so or put something in someone's ear, and all of a sudden that wrestler is not on TV anymore.
Yep.
There was a lot of, you know, personal decisions made on for the business, and a lot of guys, you know, I wouldn't say lost their careers, but you guys know sometimes lightning in a bottle only happens one time, and you know, there's a lot of guys that missed out on great opportunities because of that. Not trying to be a downer, but that's the truth.
No, that's the truth.
That's reality. Yeah,
and I'm not trying to bury that company. You know, WWE, but they're definitely not like that anymore.
No,
you can see that within their wrestlers. You can see how they handle the wrestlers, how they do their business. But back then, there were a lot of business decisions being made with personal decisions, and that's a lot of careers got ruined because of that.
You're listening to the Three Wise Men, and we'll be right back after this.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm.
Everybody went quiet on that after.
The reason why I just got something sent to me. They just showed Haku, affectionately known as Pa, he's my son's grandfather, watching the Shockmaster tape for the first time, and he's laughing because it's the Dark Side of the Ring episode, and they just sent it to me on social media because he had never seen it before. And because here's the thing, the boys were working back then. They didn't watch the product. They were working.
Yeah.
So they were working. So he's never seen it before. And he's laughing. And I'm glad they get like to see him, the silly side of him. But I solved that riddle. I went right up to Crockett and I wanted to know the answers, the Shockmaster. And I solved the riddle. So, and it was a whole career thing. I did a commercial for the WWE where Wrestling Buddies. I had the featured Wrestling Buddy, and I had to do the wall thing like Shockmaster did. And I was like, I'm going to figure out what happened. Oh, no, no. I knew you had to go foot first. He didn't. But what happened was, is I tested the theory because Dusty told me that Crockett was pissed that it was Dusty's idea, and I guess he didn't like it. So he had them nail a 2x4 at the bottom of it that wouldn't give. So, and then he tripped when he went through it because you got to go feet first. You got to lead with your foot where you're going. You go with your hands, your body just, and you go to step, you don't, and you end up falling forward because I tested it, the theory, right? And so he went to put his foot forward, and he went hands first, and he hit the thing, it didn't give, and he fell. So I go to Crockett with this, and I said, I'm just going to ask you, man to man, in front of everybody, hey, Shockmaster, did you put the 2x4 nailed it in there? And he said, you're damn right I did. I did it. He said it. Aaron was there. I said, and I was like, I think Aaron just started yelling, aha, aha. I was like, yep. I was like, I knew it.
Bingo.
Yep.
That was mystery solved.
Mystery solved. Right? Not an easy mystery to solve.
Dude, Kurt, do you remember when Crockett, like when we were eating dinner and him and his lawyer.
Oh, my goodness.
He is a gimmick.
Dude, this was actually. Oh, dude. Okay, so we're in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Remember that nice hotel that had the restaurant downstairs that would stay open for us and cook steaks and there in Nashville, tea.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Dude, so we're there. Trevor and I are eating dinner, and Crockett and his friend. It was the lawyer come up, but like they came on either side of us, and the lawyer. Trevor, wasn't he holding, it was like a butter knife or a steak knife or something like that?
He had a butter knife in his hand.
In his hand. I am not bullshitting. And we're eating, and we're like, Crockett's like, you need to give this envelope to Billy, right? Or something like that, where you had to get
newspapers that on a story that his lawyer had written in that newspaper.
And like, wanted confirmation that it would be delivered. And then they walked away, and I was like, bro, that was really interesting, but awesome. Like, I was kind of marking out. You know what I mean? It was like Crockett.
Well, it's the way they came business. Up. Yeah, had a butter knife in his hand. Like, hey, make sure these get to Billy Corrigan, all right? I need you to text me when they do. And we're like, okay, like, no problem. While he's got this butter knife pointed at us and pointing at us with it. Jeez. We just got hustled by two old guys over some newspapers.
Yep.
Like, there was no reason to have a knife. At all. And he had it. Sorry.
Speaking of Dark Side of the Ring, though, there's an episode coming up of Harley, and I am on it proudly.
Oh yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. They're debuting, I guess, next Tuesday is their first episode of the season.
But, I won't miss that.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been sending you his stuff lately. He keeps popping up.
I know.
Up.
I've been watching it, man. I'm watching it.
I just think nobody, and it's tough because they're looking at me. We got to wrap. But I always try to figure out who was better at the drunken fighter spot. And it'd be like, it would be down to three contestants. It'd be Cowboy Bob Orton, Harley Race, and Terry Funk. And I got to be honest, after him as the king, I think Harley Race is the winner. Like
you're talking about the bump over the top in the corner.
It was like 50 of them. He'd always have his feet hanging off the end, like the drunk, like him and Cowboy Bob Orton would be the him would be the two finalists because you always like to see guys who've been in a fight before because they know how to sell. You know, you also like to see guys who know how to fight drunk because they've been there before. It's a different. Well, that's a Harley laugh right there. If there ever was one, right there. You know, it's funny. You're kind of turned into him. If we can get you to perm your hair. What? The king of the NWA? Whoa, what? Whoa. Aaron, makeover.
You know how much heat I would catch.
Yes.
That.
Yes. Yeah. And we're in the business where heat sells. All right. We're going to pause that. F the refrigerator. Ooh. We're going with King.
Trevor Murdoch.
King Murdoch. All hail Lord Murdoch. Oh, we got to get him a little guy. Hey, Jeezy's available. Get Jeezy, dress Jeezy up like a little jester. The king is coming. I gotta take it to
the
next level.
I hope Billy does not hear this. I hope Billy does not hear this.
I'm literally texting him right now. I
still... Dude, the perm. Can you imagine? Like,
Trevor,
dude,
with the perm? Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, yes. Yes.
This is a rib.
You will be so cool.
Jacket with the...
No one is cool when someone says, you will be so cool. But
I guarantee you the entire area of your city will have Pern bombed hairs. You will bring back a hairdo. Oh,
dude,
man.
Hold my God with a perm.
Oh,
man,
the blonde perm.
Dude,
hell, Murda. Hey, for any of my fans out there who know how to cut and paste, if you could get me a Trevor Murdoch with blonde, permed hair with a purple crown on it, I would be very happy indeed. See if I can know some people out there. All right, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. And all hail King Trevor. Because I have a hard time saying King Murdoch without thinking of myself. So King T is it's just coming. It's just coming, man. Oh, we got stuff to do. The royal court will get you your own people. Oh, man, your little tag partner. You're the king, so he could be the he'd be the duke. Yeah, you give him a duke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't make him like a brother because then he'd have to kill you because then he'd want your.
I want my spot.
He's your spot. So you got to keep an eye on him. You got to watch that guy.
That's just like pro wrestling.
Yeah, it is. Huh? And life. All right, fellas, I'm out. I got to go do one more show. So
I'll watch you.
Yep. And like I said, all hail King T. Enough said.
Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.